I think intentional living is living your life, being able to recognize opportunity and then acting on it. Like if you walk around your life very pessimistic and you think everyone's out to get you, you're not going to find opportunities in your life, whether, you know, just making someone smile or a business opportunity or being able to help someone or allowing someone to help you with something. If you walk around your life thinking everyone's out to get you, not optimistic, that's not intentional living. Because the reality is when we live our lives, there are thousands of opportunities happening all around us. And if you're not open-minded enough, and if you're not in a peaceful state of mind enough to be able to see that stuff and recognize it, then, you know, you're not going to be able to grow. I mean, you need to be able to recognize opportunity. You need to be able to, oh, that is a really good learning opportunity. Let me go down that road. Then you learn something awesome. Oh, that person is very nice. We think a lot of similar. I think I should befriend him. And then you develop a relationship with that person. Then who knows? Maybe you start a business with that person.
This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 101 with the founder of Inspired Blue Media, Jeremy Miller.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things geek.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
Hey, girls and guys, welcome back to the show. I'm your host, JC Preston. Glad that you can join me today. And if you're new to the audience, this is the weekly show put out every Thursday where we bring you life lessons or a message from successful entrepreneurs, experts, and artists to help you do your life's work and live a lifestyle that you're proud of. Joining me in this session is my co-host, Albert Winks, president of Ascension. And our guest is a guy by the name of Jeremy Miller. And if you don't know who Jeremy is, he's a pretty outstanding guy, has a ton on his plate, and you can tell that he's going places. That's kind of a joke. He travels a lot. But, you know, I originally met him at a networking event not too long ago where, you know, when I was first talking to him, I knew that he really brought some value to folks. And while he looked young, you know, he came across as someone that was in their mid-20s, if not a little older. But I got to say, I definitely misjudged because as of the recording of this interview, he had just graduated high school. When I found that out, it completely blew me away. And you know, I'm interested in these young guns because I think that they can teach a lot of us older folks how to be more creative. You know, a lot of us lose our creativity in our 20s and just kind of live the rest of our lives in autopilot, you know, and it's always fun to bring people on that never really quite lost it. You know, for me, I personally spent a lot of time, you know, 9.5 years in academia, and it was, you know, I got to say, it was slowly was dwindling down my creativity, and I had to stay in the lines of the path they wanted to put me in if I wanted to ever have a shot at having a PhD and then, you know, becoming a professor and all that. In this podcast, you'll find out that, you know, academia was never a place that Jeremy excelled at because he really couldn't stay in those lines. And in today's chat, we also talk a bit about how he got started in entrepreneurship at a young age, how he balances everything he's up to, what he thinks about having an idea versus actually executing that idea, and when it's important to have passion in the work you're doing. Do you have passion before you get started, or do you start doing the work and does it come afterwards? This session is powered by Fizzle, and you know, it's amazing when you can decide how to spend your own time, and you know, having your own successful business allows you to live your life independently, and as you've heard on this show numerous times, it can be difficult to do. It really can, but like anything else in life, there's honestly no guarantees that anything that you're going to do is going to work, except for that last thing, all right, because you're never going to quit. But you know, the truth is that it's possible to get there, and people are finding success all over the world, and in fact, Jeremy is a great example. And, you know, the truth is you can be one of those success stories if you choose to be one and put the necessary work in. And that work, you know, that's going to vary from person to person. I got to tell you, for, you know, for a hard head like me, you know, I spent, again, 9.5 years in academia. It took a little longer than others to finally have that success. And however, one thing is for certain, as you go along your journey, you're going to find that you need help in growing yourself and your business. And, you know, that's why I have this show, to give you guys encouragement, tips, tactics to build your own independent business. But if you want to go deeper and be a part of a membership community that won't let you quit, Fizzle is definitely your place. And as you guys heard in session 100, it helped me quite a bit. Corbett, Chase, Steph, and the community that's over there can help you do what you want to do faster. And there's so much experience over there, from them to the people that are in the forums. I mean, they have, I forget how many people, like 1,200 like active members at one time. And like most mega Facebook groups, there's no agenda because you're already a member. And another thing is that they do have the old forum format as opposed to the Facebook format, which makes it easier to actually go through the different discussions that are going on and, you know, pay more attention to the different conversations. As a member, you have access to training courses, guidance for the next step, and insanely valuable feedback on their weekly coaching calls. And you get all that for only $35 a month. I mean, if you're actually hire a coach and get all this content, and, you know, if you just started your business, you can look to say $200 a month, easy. And yeah, and that's just basic information. So you're definitely saving quite a bit with that amount. But if you want to try it for free for 5 weeks, you can go to newinceptions.com/fizzle. And again, that's newinceptions.com/FIZZLE. Now, before we get started, I want to mention the fan of the week. I told you guys I wanted to get this actual part started. So here we go. Our first fan is See You Live to Ride. And they write, "This is a great podcast that really shows passion from the host and all of the guests. Well thought out episodes that keep you thinking and wanting to learn more. And I will certainly keep listening to this one time and time again. Thank you so much for your review. See You Live to Ride. I really appreciate you taking the action, giving us the feedback for one. And, you know, I'm glad that you're able to pick that vibe off of our conversations. And, you know, lots of prep goes into each show before I hit that final publish button. So I really appreciate your kind words. And if you guys want to be mentioned in this section of the podcast in the future, all you have to do is leave a review on the show at iTunes, Stitcher, or SoundCloud, or email us directly at heyguys@newinceptions.com, because I know that it can be somewhat of a pain, especially if you're a PC user, to go onto iTunes and leaving one there. But if you have an iPhone, which, you know, so many of us do, you can just simply, as you're listening to the podcast on your podcast app, you know, just hit the middle tab there and hit review. So leave your review there. So I really appreciate that. And I would love to hear what you guys have to say. So anyway, let's get into this one. Show notes and show note extras can be found at newinceptions.com/101. 101. And of course, I'll be on after the show to fill you guys on anything we might have missed. All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to the show. JC and Albert here. And today we have a really good one for you, I think. And, you know, in this session, we're actually talking with a local entrepreneur here in Indy that is, you know, he's really the real deal. And having been featured in Inc. magazine and other media around the web, Jeremy is someone that I'm proud to say represents the next generation of leaders here in Indiana. And, you know, having recently bumped into him a few events that Al and I have been co-hosting, we thought he fit a good example of the type of talent that we want to showcase on the show. And currently, Jeremy is involved with several businesses, including Christian Phonebook, IdeaVise, and his own digital marketing agency, Inspired Blue Media. And like many others who have met Jeremy that I know throughout the city, I believe that he brings a ton of value wherever he goes. And, you know, here's the kicker. He seems that he's been doing this a long time, and he's a vet at what he's doing, and he is a vet. But when I first met him, I thought that he was, you know, in his mid-20s, but you can imagine how shocked I was to learn that he was actually soon to be graduating high school. So, you know, it's an understatement to say that he's going places, and I'm glad to have him on. And but without further ado, what's up, Jeremy? How you doing?
Hey, brother. JC, I appreciate you guys both having me here. Super excited. Yeah, us too.
Yeah, and really appreciate it. Bring your super busy schedule to have you on, and yeah, definitely looking forward to getting to know you a little bit more through here. So, again, you just graduated high school. Congratulations with that. And, you know, at this point for many young adults, you know, they're either thinking about college or, you know, and whether or not they pick the right major or what they're doing the rest of the summer, or maybe even thinking about what their first real-time job is. You know, when I graduated high school, you know, I had a lot of friends that were going into the military. They were going into, again, going to school. Or, you know, maybe they were going to be able to get one of those factory jobs that paid, you know, $15 an hour or something like that. You, on the other hand, you've started your career already, and you already know what you want to do and all that goes into that. And, you know, truth be told, it's just insane to, for me, for that perspective, to know that you're already getting a head start above so many other people. So for one, how did you figure out that you wanted to start what you wanted to do so relatively early in life? And two, why entrepreneurship?
Yeah. I appreciate the introduction. Really kind words. Really appreciate that. But to answer your question, so I had a lot of really dark things happen to me at a young age. And so I was forced to mature at a young age. And so when you're forced to mature, you immediately start to think about, you know, your life and your future and your career and all that kind of stuff. So when I was 13, 14, 15 years old, you know, I was thinking about, you know, what I was going to do for the rest of my life. I wasn't thinking about, you know, what kind of game I was going to play with my friends. You know, I was just forced to immediately start thinking about my life in this, you know, very, you know, broad picture sort of macro perspective. So that's why I started so early. I mean, I was forced to mature. I didn't really have a choice just because of so many terrible things that happened at a young age. Mm-hmm. The reason why I chose entrepreneurship is because entrepreneurship gave me, it gave me purpose. It gave me hope. It gave me self-worth. Honestly, entrepreneurship saved my life because, like I said, a lot of bad things happened to me at a young age, and that started me off to be very depressed. And, you know, I got into drugs and alcohol at a young age, and started messing around with a lot of that kind of stuff, spent a lot of time in that world. And to put it very short, and I could totally elaborate on this, but very shortly, entrepreneurship took me away from that lifestyle. It gave me something that I can focus on that's productive, that's healthy, and that benefits people around me. And so entrepreneurship, I mean, it saved my life. I mean, honestly, in entrepreneurship, you know, you're always spending so much time, you're working hard. You can't, you know, be high for an entire week, or you can't go to a Friday night and go get drunk and then come home on Saturday morning hungover, because you're going to have meetings, you're going to have phone calls. So entrepreneurship completely saved me from this terrible, dark, and evil lifestyle that I was in. And, you know, as you both know, I just fell in love with it. I mean, it just keeps getting better and better and better. There's just so much purpose and life involved with entrepreneurship.
Right. And I mean, so many people, like, so you found it. Can you kind of explain the process of how you found it?
Sure.
Because a lot of homeschool type folks that I've met, or young entrepreneurs that I've met, they've had that mentor early on that's been able to even give them, because so much of the world is created to make followers of pretty much everybody. So I'm guessing you had a mentor or mentor somewhere in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, no, great question. I'm so glad you brought up mentor and mentorship. So when I was, I'd say 15, 16, when I was really sort of overcoming my depression and sort of moving into quote unquote entrepreneurship, I had to get there. I couldn't just, you know, one day decide, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. It doesn't really work like that. I looked at a lot of people in my life. So to add that perspective, one of the things that, so I already had like a therapist and that sort of thing. And my therapist, she, instead of, you know, staying home, playing video games all the time, when you're depressed, that's what you want to do. You want to escape reality. My therapist had me get involved in reality. You know, she had me serve in my school, serve in my church and that sort of thing. So I fell in love with this idea of serving, because when you serve other people, it, you know, gives you purpose. It gives you life. It releases a chemical called serotonin in your brain. So you just feel significant. Because prior to serving people, I didn't feel significant at all. And so I realized that I was like, okay, one, for my own health, I want to serve for the rest of my life. But number two, I love the idea of serving And, you know, I love the idea of, you know, making someone else happier. And so I want to do that for the rest of my life. And so I sort of self-reflected a lot and, you know, asked myself, okay, how am I going to be able to be in a position or be in, how am I going to be able to create a life that is all around serving? And so I looked around, I looked at the people in my life who I admired, who I saw that they're always serving, always putting others first, and that they're happy, that they're joyful, that they had a happy family. And consistently, when I looked at, you know, people in my life, that fit these sort of traits or these characteristics, is they were consistently entrepreneurs. And so I'm like, okay, well, then what the heck is it about entrepreneurship? And so literally for months, I'd say about probably 60 days to, you know, even 90 days for 3 months, I probably studied business and entrepreneurship to really find out why, whenever I find a true entrepreneur, why are they always happy? You know, why are they always filled with joy? Why are they always filled with hope? And then ultimately, why are they always able to serve people? And so I found through my research and found by admiring and studying successful people that done right, entrepreneurship is just a way to serve people at a high level. And so I'm like, okay, that's it. But of course, you know, idea is one thing, but execution is another thing. Mm-hmm. I'm now 15 years old. I'm a 16 at the time. How am I going to do this? So I reached out to all those people, you know, who I admired and who were successful and they're entrepreneurs. And I literally asked them, I said, hey, can you mentor me? Can you help me do what you do? Can you help me start my own business? Can you help me, you know, educate myself, all that sort of thing. And as you both know, you know, with Ascension Mentorship and Ascension Leadership, you know, people who are in those positions, they want to give back. They want to mentor people. So they are all like, yes, absolutely, let's do it.
Yeah, certainly.
And the one thing that I did that is different than a lot of people is that I actually applied what they told me. I didn't think, oh man, I'm a 16-year-old already starting my business. You know, look at me. Like I was like, I'm a no one. You're the one with the wisdom. I'm going to listen to you. And so I applied what they said, and you know, one thing led to another, and I'm very thankful to where I am now.
Awesome.
So, Jeremy, when JC introduced you, he was saying that you're one of those guys that just has a lot of stuff going on. So how is it that you get involved, especially with travel and things like that? Man, you just literally graduated high school. So how did you get into the routine of traveling? What's your distance of travel? Things like that. And then how do you just balance all that stuff out?
Yeah, no, that's sort of like two questions, but two really good questions.
Sure, certainly.
So number one, I didn't really start big time traveling until I graduated. I mean, when I was senior year, I mean, I'd go to like North Carolina every now and then, or Louisville or Chicago, you know, stuff like on the weekend just to meet up with people or talk with people. But I mean, that would just me be driving. I wouldn't, you know, fly, because at the time I really didn't have a lot of money to just be able to throw around on traveling. But now things are different. So now, because I've just spent so much time networking and developing relationships and expanding my network always, and always getting introduced to new people, pretty much in most major cities of the United States and some places of the world, I know people there. So if you're a major city, I know I have friends there, so I can easily just fly out there. I can stay with them, save money on hotel or Airbnb. So that's how I'm able to travel. I know people and they let me stay with them. Now, your second question is, how am I able to balance everything? You know, I was just with a friend of mine last night. We were having dinner and he's a young entrepreneur and he's like, man, I'm just so stressed. I'm just all over the place. I have so much to do. I'm just so busy, but I'm not really productive. And I'm like, man, if there's one thing that I consistently see with young entrepreneurs, it's that they're all over the place. There's no balance. There's no patience. There's no scheduling. There's no mental clarity. There's no direction. It's just, I'm all over the place. Because a lot of entrepreneurs, especially young entrepreneurs, they think it's just all about hustle and, you know, do as much as you can and yada, yada, yada. And for me, honestly, I'll tell you, when things actually started to get better for me is when I developed mental clarity and, you know, gave myself direction and allowed other people to speak direction into my life. I would say that having mental clarity, knowing what you need to do, having your day scheduled out, you know, having a very balanced lifestyle, that sort of thing, is so important. And in the morning, every single morning, I'll run, I'll meditate, I'll do prayer and read scripture, and I'll read a book, and then I schedule out my entire day so that I know exactly what I need to do. I don't waste a lot of time. Now, don't get me wrong. There are times throughout the day where I do absolutely nothing. But doing absolutely nothing, like that is, honestly, as an entrepreneur, I think every single entrepreneur needs to schedule time to do absolutely nothing, because it's good for mental clarity. Because if you just work the entire day, you're going to be just all over the place, and you're not going to be able to have time to sort of break down your day into little chunks. So there are times where I just meditate, or I just, you know, just read, or just sort of spend time with family. And honestly, those are the times that allows me to have mental clarity so that I can be productive and not busy. Because I think it's a dangerous cycle to be in. When you're always busy, you think you're accomplishing stuff, but the reality is you're really not. You're just giving yourself busy work.
Yeah. I like a couple of things that you brought up. I'm gonna come back to those two main points I keep hearing from you. One of them is to not only be informed, but to apply. So I definitely want to come back to that. And I highly agree with. And also to literally schedule time for yourself. Like you have to know, and I'm telling you, man, I mean, I get it that you're a young guy, and I think all of us listening and can appreciate that. There are people that still can't figure out how in the hell to do those things. I mean, it's weird to say it that way, but they haven't even realized, even in their own body, you know thyself. Right. You have to know yourself. Know what time of the day you're best, most productive.
Yes.
You know, find what schedule works for you. And you're right that to a certain point that you didn't, that I will take a little deeper, is through different work experiences. A lot of us older folks who've been around a little while longer, we are told, ingrained in us, that from 8 to 5 or even further, you need to be nose in the books, or, you know, ear to the phone, that kind of thing. Right. And it's not true. I mean, that's actually very counterproductive. That's why a lot of folks are normally neuroscience based, that a lot of us have amazing ideas while we're in the shower, or while we're brushing our teeth and stuff like that. Yes. It's because it's non-scheduled time. So yeah, man, you have to, and I have 5 kids, man. So I have to juggle everything. So I would highly suggest, I'm going to piggyback off of that for people listening, take time, figure out what works for you, what time of day works for you. And that's when you're going to get those aha genius moments for yourself, whether it's your own little meditation, coffee on the porch, whatever the hell it is, figure that thing out and do it. Lightning's going to strike your brain, I'm telling you.
Yes, absolutely.
Good point. I like that you brought that up.
So tell us about this first big trip that you had. Was it Canada? Was that correct? Or?
I mean, that was one of them. I mean, since I've graduated, I've sort of been all over the place a little bit. But recently, yes, I did have a big trip. It was, the first part was Arizona, Phoenix. I was at GoDaddy headquarters with the company called Blitzmetrics, with Dennis Yu, who is a world-renowned expert in marketing, advertising, and leadership. That was a really cool trip, on a personal level. And I'll explain this just very quickly. So when I was, you know, starting out my business, you know, you guys will probably relate. You know, when you start out, you feel like you have to have all these things in line before you can start. And, oh, I have to have a website. I have to have an LLC. I have to have business cards. I have to have all these things before it, you know, it makes sense. The reality is, like, no, you just start. You know, you just go do. But I felt like, you know, one of the things that I needed to have a website. You know, I felt like a business is not legit if you don't have a website. And so I was just sort of complaining to one of my friends, or maybe a mentor or something. I was like, man, I wish I could just start this thing, but I don't know, how do I get a website? And they told me, like, dude, just go to GoDaddy.com. And so I went to GoDaddy and, you know, explored a little bit. You know, GoDaddy taught me how to, you know, make my first website. You know, that was where I did make my first website. And so that was the first tool that I ever used to sort of start, to actually do something in my entrepreneurial journey, if you will. Mm-hmm. So ever since then, I've just sort of always looked at GoDaddy as, like, you know, this key to a doorway of my entire journey. So I've always been inspired by GoDaddy and always loved it. And then come a couple years down the road, now I'm at GoDaddy headquarters, standing in the building where GoDaddy started. And that was just a very surreal moment for me. It was validation, you know. Mm-hmm. That was really cool. Mm-hmm. And just being around Dennis Yu, my gosh, man, is absolute genius. Phenomenal. That was Phoenix, Arizona. It was very cool. I was going to go to Dallas with them after and actually have an opportunity to speak at a conference, but I was going to Canada just the following day. So Phoenix was great. Then went to Vegas just for like a half day after Phoenix. Then came up to back to Indianapolis for like 8 hours, spent time with family. Literally did absolutely nothing. I purposely did not want to do any work, just spend time with family, because the next day I was flying out to Canada, which is a really fun trip. Canada is really cool. A lot of cool people in Canada.
I forget exactly what the quote was, but they're all friendly, and
they're all so nice.
Yeah, and they also have their Tim Hortons is one of the few things that describes mm-hmm. who they are. I actually call Tim Hortons Canadian crack, so you know that's.
Oh yes, Tim Hortons. Yes, yes, we did eat there. When they're like, so hey, have you ever been to Tim Hortons? I'm like, no. They're like, that blew their mind. I'm like, what is Tim Hortons? You know, like we have to take you there, and I'm like, okay, fine. You know, I'm here. Yeah, you know, I'm here to wherever you guys take me, I'll go. And so that was really cool. I'm blessed and very thankful that I had a friend up there named Jonathan G. I met him through Facebook and networking. Mm-hmm. And I actually, prior to going up to Canada and living with him, I had two phone calls with him. So didn't actually completely know him. We were just online mm-hmm. friends barely. But I went up there and he took me under his wing. He showed me the whole city. He showed me Canada. And, you know, we went up to the, you know, that big tower. I can't think of it. The CN Tower, you know, we saw some really cool things. The one thing I love about traveling, and I encourage everyone, you know, if you get an opportunity to do a solo travel, you know, not with family, not with friends, just, you know, you going up there, doing your thing, take that opportunity, because traveling, number one, it opens up the entire world for you and it expands what you think of what the world is. And you learn a lot about other cultures. But also, number two, you develop a ton of self-awareness. And I'm sure you guys hear it all the time. I'm sure you guys hear it all the time. But self-awareness is so freaking important. And when you're just thrown into a different environment, you don't know where you are. You know, a lot of people around you don't speak the language. You're just very in a different place. It's not, you know, it's very normal. It's kind of anything can happen. You're forced to sort of think on the fly. You're forced to, you know, make quick, smart decisions. You know, you just develop a lot of self-awareness. And that's, I'm very thankful that I'm able to do that. And I'm very thankful that I have the opportunity to be able to travel, you know, just like, for example, like I might be going to London. A friend of mine, he reached out to like, hey man, you want to shoot? He's a big, you know, celebrity kind of guy, gets like millions of views online. He reached out to me. He's like, hey man, you want to collab? And I'm like, yeah, absolutely. And so I might be going out to London. I'm so thankful that I have the opportunity to just be able to go out and travel, because there's so much learning you can do when you start to travel alone. Mm,
for sure. For sure. And, you know, one of the things that seems to be the underlying foundation of everything that we've been talking about thus far is the fact that you live intentionally, you know, and for me,
yes.
This, you know, you talked about this in your Inc. magazine interview a bit, but for me, this wasn't something that I really understood until I was 28. I was already out of grad school, and I'd gotten to that point in my life by basically following what was expected of me. And I think that most people live their lives like that. It took a, you know, a quarter life crisis for me to knock me out of it. But, you know, so many people are stuck living their life based on what other people suggest that they should be doing, or what the social norms suggest they should be doing, or the number of different things. How did you start living intentionally, and what are some ways that other people can help snap out of their funk that hopefully isn't as, you know, you had talked about already that, you know, you had some negative things that happened on, and, you know, my mom passed away, yep. which is kind of what helped me kind of knock my funk out. But yeah, how are some ways that to get people started in the right direction?
Yeah, absolutely. No, I love talking about intentional living. I mean, you really have to ask yourself, you know, what is intentional living? You know, how can you define that? A lot of people have different answers. You know, John Maxwell has a great book on intentional living. Phenomenal book. Encourage everyone to read it. But I define intentional living, and this probably isn't me. I probably read it online. You know, I'm not quoting. I'm not saying this is my coined thing. But I think intentional living is living your life, being able to recognize opportunity, and then acting on it. Okay, what does that mean? Because that sounds very abstract, and I understand that. Like if you walk around your life very pessimistic and you think everyone's out to get you, you're not going to find opportunities in your life, whether, you know, just making someone smile or a business opportunity or being able to help someone or allowing someone to help you with something. If you walk around your life thinking everyone's out to get you, not optimistic, that's not intentional living, because number one, you're not going to be able to see different opportunities. Because the reality is when we live our lives, there are thousands of opportunities happening all around us. And if you're not open-minded enough, and if you're not in a peaceful state of mind enough to be able to see that stuff and recognize it, then, you know, you're not going to be able to grow. I mean, you need to be able to recognize opportunity. You need to be able to, oh, that is a really good learning opportunity. Let me go down that road. Then you learn something awesome. Oh, that person is very nice. We think a lot of similar. I think I should befriend him. And then you develop a relationship with that person. Then who knows? Maybe you start a business with that person. But if you look at that person and you aren't able to, you know, see the good in them and, oh man, they're just trying to copy my thing. If you think that, then you're not intentional living and you're going to lose that relationship. You know, that relationship could be one of the most important relationships in your life. But because you automatically think, oh, they're trying to, you know, copy my thing, instead of thinking and living in abundance and living, you know, thinking about how you can sort of work with them, you're not going to be able to produce anything. Now, there's a second point to it. Intentional living is not just being able to recognize opportunity, but acting on it, because ideas are nothing without execution. Opportunities are absolutely nothing without fruition,
right,
and application and, you know, execution. And so having the ability to actually go do that thing, actually go talk to that person, actually go, you know, start that online course or whatever, is very important. And I guess you could even go, you know, second round is to apply, but, you know, that could, you know, be under the umbrella of execution.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that, you know, you bring up there is that one of those online courses that I went through 5 years ago at this point, you know, we talked about the fact that, you know, everybody gets worried about their ideas being taken. And, mm-hmm, you know, especially if they're brand new to entrepreneurship, and it's like, yeah, don't worry so much about the ideas being taken, because more than likely, if you're actually worth your salt, so to speak, you're going to be able to over-execute the person that's stealing your idea in the first place.
Absolutely. Can I elaborate on that just a little bit?
Go for it. Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So in the book, Start With Why by Simon Sinek, I'm sure you guys have read it. If someone's listening to this and they have not read that book, please go buy. I mean, I'll buy the freaking book for you. It's so good. Start With Why by Simon Sinek. In that book, in like the first or second chapter, he talks about Apple and the genius of Apple. Well, a lot of people don't know this, but Apple did not invent the iPod. And to add clarity, you know, the iPod was one of the products that really took Apple away from a computer company and more into like a lifestyle company of, you know, hey, we're going to create just a whole assortment of, you know, products that, you know, you're going to be able to use, you know, anywhere and everywhere. You know, that was just one of the products that just really took them a lot of different places. If you like look at their revenue after the iPod, you know, it really skyrocketed, that sort of thing. But Apple, they did not create the iPod. They were actually 8 months late, if you will, to market to bring the Apple to bring the iPod to market. There's a company in like Taiwan or something, which was an audio. It was a very huge audio company that had more merit and had more privilege, or, you know, whatever the right word is. They had more of a better chance to successfully bring the iPod to market. But so you have to ask yourself, well, if Apple was 8 months late to market, if somebody else already had the idea, they had 8 months to, you know, to bring it to market successfully, what did Apple do differently? Well, you know, that's the whole thing. The Apple's whole branding is think differently. And so it's not about, you know, how good your idea is or if you have the idea first. It's all about execution and how you apply it and how it serves people and your why and, you know, the story behind it, all that kind of stuff. So a lot of people, like you said, they think they're going to get their idea stolen. It's not about ideas. It's not about who can bring the idea first. It's about who can do it better. You know, who can help the most amount of people, who can solve the most amount of problems. It's not about the quality of an idea.
Right.
Yeah, Jeremy, those are great points, man. And speaking of setting folks up, talk to me about like 3 to 5 steps to how you would like to help others make a difference in their personal life and in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a really good question. So a lot of people, they think, you know, and don't get me wrong, it's amazing to think that you want to change the world. But a lot of people, they want to change the world or they want to make a lot of great impact. And that's great. I mean, I think it's an amazing world that we live in, that, you know, everyone wants to impact lives. But you can't change the world. You can't impact lives if you don't change your world. You have to change your mind before you can change other people's minds. So before, you know, in the beginning of someone's journey or their business or, you know, their idea, I think it's very important to focus on self-improvement, your personal life, personal development, that sort of thing. And little, you know, 5-step, you know, if you will, that I like to live by. And I actually saw a friend of mine post this on Facebook. Her name is Spring Portner. She's awesome. But it's called get impassioned, seek to be informed, obtain insight, get inspired, and then get involved. And, you know, you could really break that down, you know, a lot of different things. The reason why I start out with getting passionate is because if you're not passionate, then you're going to quit. Because the reality is whether, you know, it's just living in this world or your business, it sucks sometimes. And if you're not passionate, yeah, you're going to quit so fast. You're going to get punched in the nose. You know, life's going to punch you in the nose, you know, all this kind of stuff. And if you're not passionate, you're going to quit. And then, you know, seek to be informed. That's mentorship. Find people who you can speak into your life and give you wisdom. You know, find people who can give you good direction. You know, number three, obtain insight. You know, better your craft. You know, learn how to add value to people. If you're not adding value to people, you're not going to do anything well. Like a lot of people say, follow your passion. I don't think you should follow your passion. Find something that you're passionate about, but that can add value to other people. Because if you don't, that's just the way our economy works. Is you when you get money, something was given value. That's just how economics works. So, and then number four, get inspired. Because when you're inspired, you inspire other people. People will follow you. You can empower people. You know, when people are inspired, you know that's the whole thing with Apple and that other company. Apple was inspired to make a beautiful project or a beautiful product, and it inspired other people. So, you know, get inspired. You know, I'm very passionate about inspiration. I mean, I named my company Inspired Blue Media. And then number five, get involved. Please don't sit around. So many people have amazing opportunity and amazing potential, but they just don't act. And to do anything, it requires action and execution. So get involved in people's lives. Get involved in your community. Get involved in your church or your school or your family, whatever it is. Just start doing stuff. But yeah, I would say those are five steps that I really sort of like to live by, and I really never manifested it until I saw my friend, you know, posted on Facebook. You know, that's just a very, you know, simple way to follow. But I mean, that sort of five step, just not outlined so perfectly like that. I've always sort of followed that.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Here's a side question for you, and maybe I'm really curious as what your take on it would be, because I understand starting with passion and work that you like to do, but on the other hand, you're familiar with Mike Rowe and Dirty Jobs?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so one of the things that Mike has been known to say, especially when he's been on other podcasts promoting his own, he talks about how passion finds you after you start work, and especially is true, you know, when he's talking about these people that start work first and then they find their passion in that work. And maybe since you've met such a, you know, a large group of people, and, you know, here in Indiana, where you're going to probably find more of the second group there, kind of interested in your take on having passion first versus having passion after you've already started the work.
Absolutely. No, that's a great question. And I know I've seen the video that Mike, that, you know, that sort of went viral with Prig U, I think it was. And they brought up amazing points. And it's true. I mean, to an extent, when I say start with passion, I say that because most of the people, you know, they have jobs and they get home and, you know, their normal lifestyle is you get home from work and you watch TV and then you go to bed. Mm-hmm. Well, for you to be able to get home from work where you're already tired, you're already, you know, maybe a little upset because you might have a stupid boss who's not a leader or something like that, it requires a little enthusiasm and a little passion. It requires this extra bit inside of you that, you know, pushes you to go work for another 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 to 7 hours after you just got home from an entire day of work.
Right.
That's when I say, you know, start with passion. Now, to go about, you know, why don't you just start with work and see if the passion follows? Absolutely. And at the end of the day, this is what worked for me. People are just so different, and it comes down to, you know, what works for you. If you're not able to get up and go, you know, work a little later in the night, if you're not able to, you know, I keep talking about, you know, an idea is nothing, it's all about execution. If you're not able to execute on your idea, then maybe you do need some passion to push you through. Because the reality is the idea is you just need to start. You just need to start going, whether that's, you know, you start with being passionate or you start by just doing stuff and you hope the passion follows. It doesn't really matter. The point is, can you do it, and will you do it, and will you add value to other people's lives? It's not, you know, which is the right way. It's just which way works for you. I don't really think there is a sort of a one size fits all, because our humans are just so different. So to go back, you know, to your original question, you know, which is it? Do you start with passion and then, you know, that starts your journey, or do you start with the work And, you know, the passion follow is, I don't know. I really don't think there's a right or wrong answer because it's just different for so many people. I would say just start somewhere and see what works. If you start working and it just makes you depressed and it sucks and there's no excitement and you're ruining all your friendships and your family hates you because you're always upset or whatever, then, you know, maybe you should stop doing that.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that passion is not following.
Yeah.
You know, ask yourself, am I getting more excited about this? You know, is the passion coming? If it's not, you know, maybe you should find something that you're more excited about.
Mm-hmm.
So answer the question is, I don't know. And to for someone to apply it is, I just say start and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know,
take dumb action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Gotcha. So as we're here in the middle of the summer and already, I can't believe it's July 3rd, enjoying a long 4th of July weekend. Always interested in what people have planned for the, you know, near future and not too distant future. What are some of the things that you're looking forward to?
So last night I was on a phone call with an editor of some magazine and she basically asked me the same exact question. You know, what are you really excited about in the near future, you know, coming up? And my answer was freedom. Mm. And what I mean by that is having the freedom to be able to talk to anyone who I want to be able to drop whatever I'm doing and go help out a friend, having the freedom to, you know, I know someone who lives a couple of states away or lives in another country and they're in a terrible position and they just need someone to help them out. There's no one there for them. I love that I can literally drop what I'm doing and go help them and go love on them and go care for them. I would say the most exciting thing about my near future or really my future in general is having the ability and having the freedom to do what I want when I want. And I don't mean that as in like, you know, like I'm a young kid, I can party whenever I want to. I mean, having the freedom to be able to, you know, drop what I'm doing. I don't have anything bound holding me back. When I was in high school or prison or high school, whichever you call it, I had to wait every single day till 3:15 to get home to do what I actually wanted because I was so bound when I was at school. To be completely honest, I did terrible at school. I mean, I almost did not pass high school. But it's because it was such, I mean, literally there's like chains that was always around me. And now that I can, you know, do what I want, when I want to have the freedom, I'm so excited about that. And honestly, I start out my day every single day, every single morning with gratitude. I'm so thankful and grateful for that. You know, and then I'd say something that's about to come up immediately is I'm so thankful that recently I had an interview with Channel 13 News. And that was really exciting. Not from a, like a look of me standpoint, but sort of more of a validation standpoint, because from my past, you know, I struggle with a lot of things like self-doubt and everything. And having, you know, been featured on a news, it adds validation for me, you know, basically telling me on a personal level, like, hey, Jeremy, you're doing the right thing. Just keep doing it. And then from a business standpoint, of course, media and PR and that sort of stuff, it's really good for business. It's really good for personal branding. So I'm very excited once that interview comes out.
Awesome. Yeah. And then on the webpage, you'll be able to put NBC, right? As featured.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Good deal. So as we're wrapping up here, I want to go into the rapid fire question segment. And first one that we're going to ask you today are, what are your top favorite books that you tell others about?
Oh, yeah. So I've already mentioned a couple in this podcast. Start With Why by Simon Sinek. Absolutely amazing book. I don't care if you're an entrepreneur, if you're not an entrepreneur, if you're homeless, if you're a multi-billionaire. I don't freaking care. Every single person should read that book. Phenomenal book. Another book, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Great book. Another book, Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey. I'm not, you know, a fanboy of Dave Ramsey. He has a lot of good stuff, I guess. But his book, Entree Leadership, phenomenal book. Something very different that he, you know, like when you think of Dave Ramsey, you think of a big, frugal, financial kind of guy. Entree Leadership is very different. It's all about how do you become an entrepreneur and be a leader at the same time. It's a great book for entrepreneurs who are trying to be leaders at the same time.
Awesome.
What would you say is your least favorite social custom?
Oh man, I don't think I've ever been asked that. That is a good question. least favorite. Okay. I would say my least favorite social custom is how 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 year olds are on social media and on the internet all the time. Because here's the reality. And by the way, this has come from someone who is a social media marketing person. I mean, social media is my profession. I used to be on social media all the time. I am now probably, even though I run, you know, social media for, you know, 15 different companies, and at one point I was running over 45 different social media accounts, I was on social media less than some of my friends because I was just very, you know, specific and intentional because I knew the effects, the negative effects of social media. I think it is so wrong that young kids, like under the age of like 8 or 9, are on social media, because when you're on social media, it releases an addictive and at times destructive chemical called dopamine. And by the way, when you do meth, that also releases a chemical called dopamine. When you do any drug or drink alcohol, that releases a chemical in your brain called dopamine, and it's very addictive, and it can be destructive. So my question is are there restrictions and rules with drugs and alcohol and, you know, age limits and all that kind of stuff, but why is there no age limit on social media? But the reality is parents and people, they don't actually understand the psychological effect of what social media does to people. And honestly, that's an entire podcast in of itself. I'd say that's really my least favorite thing. And that's come from someone who is a social media person. And I will tell you the amazing benefits of social media all day long. But for young people, when you're exploring the world and, you know, you're growing so fast, your brain is growing so fast, it is so unhealthy to be staring at that screen for so long. I think that's so destructive. One of my very good friends, his name is Bradford Wolf. This is a little plug for him. He created something called the Storybook Factory. And it's this beautiful platform where young kids can go read really cool, awesome, engaging, interactive books instead of, you know, being on Angry Birds or being on Instagram all day long. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is think about the younger generation. They're playing games and on social media rather than reading and learning. What is that? You know, what does that look like for the future of the world? Probably not very good.
Yeah. Well, now, like I mentioned to you before we got on the air, that there's even my kindergartner has an iPad because of the school. The school gave him an iPad. And so they're teaching YouTube stuff. And that obviously is where parenting comes in. I have 5 kids. He's the middle one. And yeah, we have to get home, do certain homework.
Right.
And I mean, it's a full-time job just monitoring that stuff as a parent.
Right.
Yeah. And I got to say, I mean, it's just, people shouldn't confuse the feeling they get from reading their social media from the feeling that you were talking about earlier, which I believe you said was serotonin, of actually being constructive.
Absolutely. I agree completely. You know, dopamine makes you feel good, but it's like an addictive sense. Like when you get high, it might make you feel good, but on the long term, it's probably not good for your body and for your brain. Serotonin, which is a completely different chemical, you feel good, you feel significant, but it's healthy. It's a healthy feel good. Two completely different chemicals. When you're on social media, it does not release serotonin. How you release serotonin in your brain is you help someone else. That's one of the most consistently easy way to release serotonin in your brain, is when you actually help someone else. It's kind of like Zig Ziglar's quote, if you want to be happy, make other people happy. And another way of saying it, if you want to make money, help other people make money.
Nice. What issue do you believe people ought to be talking more about, but yet hardly anybody is?
Oh, good question. High schoolers, middle schoolers, there are a lot of mental issues that are so overlooked, that are so underwhelmed, that people don't think it's a big deal. Well, from someone who just graduated from high school, where most of my friends are that age, there is a lot of depression, a lot of self-doubt, a lot of confidence issues, a lot of lack of self-worth issues that most high schoolers go through, and that no one talks about it. Might be because no one really knows how to talk about it, but there are a lot of mental issues that are so underlooked. It's not very common, to hear a high schooler say, "Oh, I'm just so depressed." And now don't get me wrong. I was actually depressed at one time. There's obviously a difference between, "Oh man, I just feel depressed someday," than actually being depressed. But if you get down to sort of the core, there are a lot of high schoolers who are actually depressed, and that leads to apathy. And I think we need to talk more about high schoolers and mental issues and apathy and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Well, and I think it could probably connect a lot of that to the overuse of social media.
Right. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
What advice do you hear adults giving, let's say, young children, young adults, that you'd call BS on?
Oh, man. I'm going to say something. I don't mean it as an absolute answer, because this answer is very controversial, and I don't mean it for it to be controversial, but self-education and college and that sort of thing. Now, don't get me wrong. I am not someone who says, don't go to college. I believe, college can be a great thing, and lots of people need to go to college. I didn't go to college because I'm in a very different position, but I think it is very wrong when an adult says, you have to go to college to be successful, or you have to go to college to learn stuff. The reality is when people ask me if I'm going to college, I say, yes, I'm going to the university of, I can just Google it. The reality is a lot of parents and a lot of adults, they don't realize how much amazing knowledge is on the internet. How much you can learn. I've never taken any, actual official course, if you will. I did some stuff at HubSpot, but I learned everything online. There's so much knowledge. So when an adult says that you can only learn in college, or that you can only learn from someone else giving you knowledge like a teacher, I think that's so wrong. That's just how, our sort of world has been created. That's just how we've been crafted from the beginning. And I can go super historical and, provide evidence on that. That's not my opinion. That's just, how our society has been created. You go to school, you get taught everything, all the information is given to you. But the reality is we live in the information age. And don't quote me, or actually quote me on this stuff. Don't take my word for it. Look it up, do your own research. But we live in the information age, and things are a lot different now. You can learn a lot online. For most jobs, and I meet with a lot of employers. One of my mentors, he owns a very, very huge staffing company with over 300 offices all over the country. Most of the time, you get on-the-job training. It's all on the job experience and that sort of thing. So I hear a lot of adults say that, the only route that you can take is college. I would call BS on that. I'm not saying college is wrong for everyone. Mm-hmm. I'm just saying there are other options, whether it's online or, course or whatever. Just please just take the time to look at different options. College is not the only option.
That was a good answer.
And how can someone be a difference maker in their own community?
Oh, great question. The fifth step, what I talked about earlier, is get involved. Get involved in your community, and that could entail so many different things. But just get out of the house. I have a friend of mine who, they're like, man, Jeremy, your life is just so cool. You get to meet all these people, you get to travel, and all that kind of stuff. When they're saying this, it was almost sort of out of jealousy. And then I asked them, I was like, well, you could do the same thing. I'm not anyone special. And they're like, yeah, well, maybe. And when I know them very well, and they spend their entire life, they spent their entire summer watching YouTube videos in their house. Mm. I'm like, you're never going to be able to accomplish anything and never going to be able to do anything cool or fun or make a difference if you stay in your house all the time. You need to get out. You need to meet people. So I'd say get involved is the first step to, trying to make a difference.
Good deal. Good deal. And whatever fashion that might be, right?
Yeah.
Cool. Well, okay. So at this point, what are the action steps that you just want to leave someone going with the rest of the day, so to speak?
Yeah, okay, cool. All right, you want me to just start that out?
No, I'll lead it off. But
okay.
What is...
All right, let me think for a second. It's going to be I'm going to encourage people to just sort of take 20, 30 minutes to do absolutely nothing. Mm-hmm. And just sort of think to themselves, do a little self-reflection, a little meditation, really think about, what they're actually trying to accomplish. And then think about, what are the steps that they need to accomplish that thing, that thing. Do they want to be happier? Okay, then what do you need to do to be happier? Do you want to make a difference in your community? Okay, then sit back. What does that difference actually mean? Okay. That kind of stuff.
All right. So as we're closing today, one of the things that we had mentioned during our conversation today was intentional living. And I want to kind of make that the action steps as we're getting off here. So give me a quick summary of, as soon as this conversation is over, how someone can start living intentionally today.
Oh, yeah. That's a great takeaway, great application. Again, I just want to say thank you so much for doing this. This has been awesome. But yeah, so takeaway, I would encourage everyone to spend some time, you know, and it's the holiday season right now, so it's easy to do this. But just take some time and just sort of sit back and do absolutely nothing. Just for like 20 to 30 minutes. And the reason why I say that is just do some self-reflection and some meditation. Really ask yourself, what are you trying to do with your life? What are you trying to accomplish? I think it's very dangerous to be in this, you know, going with the motions or just going with the flow sort of, you know, state of life. And, you know, ask yourself, what do you really want to do? You know, what do you want to do for your family? What do you want to do for your community? What do you want to do for your business? Because the reality is, if you're just always working, always moving forward, but you don't actually know what you're actually trying to get to, you don't know what your end point is, then you're going to be in this lost, you know, endless cycle. So just sort of sit back and just ask yourself, what are you actually trying to accomplish? And you know, create like a 3 month, 6 month, 9 month, you know, 12 month sort of goal, if you will, and write it down, because psychologically writing down goals is so much more effective than just saying it in your head, because you'll forget. And then once you figure out what you want to accomplish spiritually, socially, and for business or professionally, talk about, you know, think what you actually need to do to get to the point, to get to those goals, to make your family happier, to make your wife or your husband happier. And what do you need to do? Is it taking them out on more dates? Like, ask yourself, when's the last time you took out your spouse out on a date? Oh, it's been 3 years. And then you ask yourself, why? Oh, I'm too busy. Okay, then schedule. Be intentional on scheduling that kind of time. So that's what I would say as a takeaway. Just spend some time to do absolutely nothing. Really think about what you're trying to accomplish, and think about, you know, how can you actually accomplish that.
If people need help doing that, what is the best way to get in contact with you?
Yeah, so Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Jeremy Miller with two J's. So at JJ Jeremy Miller. So you can put that in the notes if you want. But Twitter is the easiest way for people to reach out. If you don't have a Twitter, either make one, or you can find me on Facebook. Find my Instagram at Jeremy Miller with two J's as well. If you don't have any of that, and I don't blame you for not having social media, my email, my personal email is jeremymiller531@gmail.com.
Well, thanks for being on, and looking forward to more great things coming from your direction, man.
Absolutely. Thanks, JC. Thanks, Al. Appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, there you have it, guys. Lots of great stuff from Jeremy in that one. And, you know, just today he got his Twitter verified. And, you know, like being on the local station, I'm sure that gives him some validity that he's doing the right thing. And, you know, here's the question for you. What was your favorite thing that you learned in today's session that you can apply right away? Tweet me at JC_Preston and let me know what you got out of today's chat. And the extras in this session, I have some videos that I think you guys will definitely appreciate. I have a couple of videos from Jeremy himself, as well as a piece from PragerU. And the first one is a bit more about Jeremy's story. You know, we briefly touched on why he went ahead into entrepreneurship in the first place, but, you know, he did a video in where he talks about more of the details of his past. And pretty, once you listen to it, once you see it, you're going to be like, man, this is pretty brave of him to put this information out there. So that's what I'm leading with today. Next up, we have that local news interview of his. And like me, I think that the folks that talk to him, you know, they appreciate what he's been able to do and everything that he's currently doing. Because, I mean, frankly, at that age, how many of us even had the wherewithal to do what he's doing? So exciting stuff, and I'm glad to see that he was able to get that opportunity. And then after that, we have this really cool video that, you know, he did traveling across the U.S. in a Subaru Impreza, you know, and it has a lot of great messages in it. And to be honest with you, it's a really great short video that I totally recommend you guys check out, just to maybe get a little bit of a taste of what freedom can do for you. So yeah, that's what's in those first three videos. And the fourth video, we have the Mike Rove one that we were talking about in the session. And again, remember that there's this way of starting a business where you just, you know, start doing the work, whatever needs to be done, and you're giving value to people, and the passion might follow. Can't say it always will, because, you know, that's kind of, you know, just because I was a teacher, you know, I went to start working for Ivy Tech, and because, You know, I was good at math. I started teaching algebra, but the passion was never there. And so I had to find something else. So the thing is that sometimes you might actually need that extra push. You might actually need that passion first. And, you know, the truth is that when on a lot of Gary Vee's videos, he talks about how it's really, if you need that extra fuel in your work, sometimes it's going to be hard to, you know, get up or something. And really having that passion in what you're doing gives you that extra oomph to, you know, do the things that you need to do that given day or that given week, regardless whatever it is that you're doing. So that being said, that's a wrap for session 101. Thanks again for joining us for this particular session. I think it's a great little follow-up to session 100. And if you want to get connected with Jeremy, myself, or anyone else that you've heard on the show directly, you can do so by going to the AOL networking group on Facebook. Go to it directly by visiting newinceptions.com/AOL networking. And next week's show, Albert and I interview a cool guy by the name of Isaac Lidsky. And if you've heard of Isaac before, it's probably because he's been on several other platforms, including Art of Charm, Art of Manliness, Glenn Beck program. But, you know, the thing is that he's written this really cool book called Eyes Wide Open, where he explains why it's important to be aware of all the choices that you're making in life. Because guess what? Those choices are resulting in where you're currently at. You know, a lot of us will say that, oh, it's a combination of my environment and my choices. It's true to an extent, but, you know, in the book, he talks about that most of it is your perspective and how things are going. And, you can look at it one way in a negative light, or you can kind of like what Jeremy was talking about in today's show, have an open mind. And choose a particular path. And if it works out one way, great. And if it works out another way, well, it might be a great learning situation. So anyway, in this next session with Isaac, we're actually taking it to the next level. And we find out that the answers to the questions that aren't really being asked in these other shows. Because for one, Isaac, as you'll find out, has a ton of layers in his story. So I wanted to connect some of those missing dots. And two, the interviews that I've heard from these other platforms, you know, he covered a ton of the same information. So in the show notes in that next episode, I'm going to link them all. All right. You're going to be able to hear all the information, and then you're going to be like, oh, I see what JC did there. This is the part two interview. Well, yes. So next session 102 is going to be very behind the scenes conversation with Isaac. One that I think you guys are all going to get a little bit more information out of. It's not going to be nearly as shallow as a lot of the conversations that I've had. And really, it's like I said, it's going to be a great behind the scenes conversation with Isaac. So hope you guys enjoy that one. It's a new format again that I wanted to try out. And to make sure that you're informed when it goes out, all you have to do is go to the New Inceptions page on Facebook, and then underneath the following tab, just select See First. So, guys, that's it for session 101. Thanks for listening in. And again, if you want to start your entrepreneurial journey just like Jeremy or Al, myself, or anybody else that's been on the show, give Fizzle a look. Sign up today. Get your first 5 weeks free. That said, I appreciate you joining Al, Jeremy, and myself in this one. Until next time, gang, dig in, have fun, and take care in whatever you're creating. And we'll see you back here next time.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter at newinceptions, Instagram at new.inceptions, and on the web at newinceptions.com.